This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN?
Oh,
what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 263, brought to you by InStock Trades and iFanboy listeners just like you. iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 263. My name is Ron Richards, and I'm here with Connor Kilpatrick.
Hello, Ron.
Hello, Connor. And Josh Flanagan.
Shalom.
And we are from the website iFanboy.com, where we are efficient in our enjoyment of comic books. We read comics every week. We read a whole stack of them. Then we come back to iFanboy.com, and one of us picks the book that we deem the pick of the week, the book that we enjoyed the most for various personal reasons. And then we write a review of it. Then we come here to this podcast, and we talk about it as well as the other comic books. We argue a little bit. We kind of take little personal digs at each other that people don't get the context of. And then we laugh.
Are you on speed?
It's a good time. I might be. Before we get to the show, a quick reminder. We're going to talk about what happened in the books as we're reviewing them, so we might spoil the books for you. So if you haven't read your comic books, press pause and come back and listen later, or look in the show notes on the website or in the podcast notes or whatever, and you can see what we talk about and you can skip it. Does anybody really heed this warning anymore? Have we gotten a complaint about spoiling? Can we stop talking? It's 263 episodes. Do we all get it?
Connor, is he making you anxious?
This, are you grinding your teeth, Ron?
I might be. This week, despite what our script says, I did not have the pick. Josh had the
here
pick.
It is.
Yeah, there
Ron,
it is.
Your helicopters.
You want to see helicopters? I'll get you to see helicopters.
So I shouldn't have been listening to Cream all afternoon. Okay, I understand now. All right.
Don't even mention it. We'll have to pay. I think that's how rights work. Every once in a while, I will pick a book that not a lot of people are reading. And so most people probably don't notice it. But the people who are reading it are all like, hell yeah. And that's what I think has happened this week. I picked Baltimore, The Plague Ships, number 5.
Do you feel as if you got like a small community high five?
No, I feel like 4 people feel validated. That's
right, yeah,
I
that's
feel.
What I mean. Like a small community high five. Yeah, like, yeah.
I guess, I don't know if it's enough to make a community. I don't know how many.
Hey, more than 3.
All right.
That's all you
enough.
Need.
This is your second vampire book in a row.
Yeah, you're totally going to watch Twilight tonight.
You're the vampire guy. Ron's the Marvel guy. I'm the DC guy.
Oh, yes, you're the vampire guy. Excellent.
I don't want to be the vampire guy.
Oh,
you're the vampire guy.
Now you got to watch Buffy.
Yes.
Are you guys? Send me that guy's DVDs. I'll get them back to him eventually. I think that's fine. Anyway, Baltimore, The Plague Ships, number 5 of 5 is a miniseries. But as we know in the Dark Horse Mignola-verse, and I've tried really hard not to type Mignola-verse anywhere in my review, and then I just said it now. You know, there will probably be more. He wants to expand it. I think there's more coming in 2011. But for our purposes here, there was a character named Lord Baltimore who has been it first showed up in a novel that came out in 2007 that was by Christopher Golden, who's the co-writer on this book with Mike Mignola. And I'm not sure if Mignola actually co-created him there, but he did the illustrations for the book. Basically, he is a dude from Europe who is fighting in World War I, and it turns out in this version of World War I, there are all these vampires, and he pissed off one of them, the Red King, and started sort of a personal vendetta. So the Red King came and he killed all of Baltimore's family and everything he held dear. So Baltimore's been on a years-long quest to rid the world of vampires. He's basically, I liken him, he's kind of the Punisher. That's sort of what it is, but for vampires. And he's been – the thing about him is he's been completely and totally grizzled. Now, grizzled is a word that Connor and I used for many, many years. I don't know if it has context for other people, but just to describe him, his entire family's dead. He has nothing left in the world but killing vampires. It's all that he wants. He has a wooden leg. I believe one of his hands is a hook. He walks around with several swords and an axe and then some rifles, many weapons. He's sort of like a bristling early 20th century America G.I. Joe figure.
Awesome.
In a way. Yeah. Connor, are you reading this at all?
No, I'm waiting for the trade.
Okay. And that's fair. I think a lot of people are.
I do have I have the novel, though.
Yeah, you never read it, though.
No, it's on my stack. I thought about it the other night, but no one needs to know. No one needs
well,
to know.
Well, here's the – just.
I was going into my own thing. I went to my own place for a second there. Sorry.
It should be noted, because it was based on a novel, you totally don't need to read the novel, because I didn't read the novel. And this is one of those series that it sort of comes out quietly, and it's like just this good little series of books. And every month that one has come out, I've given it 5 stars, and I just enjoyed it. There's nothing – it was kind of hard to write a review about it, because there's nothing about it that's really standing out that was done differently. It's just Mignola – getting a team around him of people to do the stuff that Mignola does really well. And you would think that you would get sick of it after so much Hellboy and so much BPRD, but you don't. And it's just like – it's just this grisly story where Baltimore ends up in this town that has been infected by this plague that turns everybody – I'm not even sure of the details. That's the thing. It turns him into vampires or like zombie vampires, and the place has been ravaged, and he gets there, and this girl – Vanessa's like, I don't want to stay here anymore. This place is destroyed. Let me go with you. And he's like, you don't want to go with me. I bring death around me. You don't want to be. She's like, I'm going anyway. So they end up on a ship, and the ship gets shipwrecked on this little island, which is surrounded by sunk German U-boats and warships and things like that. And as they get exposed to this plague, they all turn into monsters. So the last issue is sort of their last night on the island, where all of these plague monster vampire things come after them, and he just basically kills them all. It's the whole issue. It's just him hacking a lot of heads off of things. There's a little flashback to his history, and it's a lot of fun. Like at one point, like they play with the idea of – one of the things that's really cool is that there's all these sort of dead soldiers being risen up. And at one point, because of the year it's between World War I and World War II, these sort of – you know those deep sea diving suits, the big iron crazy suits, like they come up the dead people are some of them are in those. So like he's got to try to kill them, but he can't. And it's just – It's just a lot of fun. It's really very, very simple. And sometimes when you add that Mignola magic to sort of a simple formula like this, it just works really well. Another thing I like to point out is that his pages are really there's the quiet pages and then the sort of action pages. And you can see this. He does this in all his books. If you know, the BPRD scenes between the action are very quiet and very introspective. Same thing with Hellboy. But you'll just have a panel of like some crows. It's not really there for anything other than to set a tone and a mood and to make things ominous. But Mignola does that in his books so well. And then the other side of that, the other constant besides Mignola through all these is Dave Stewart, who does the colors. And it's interesting that you're gonna mention Dave Stewart before you actually mention Ben Stenbeck, the guy who did the art. But you know, Stewart is just so perfect for that. He knows exactly what it should be, and he does all the other Mignola books too. You know, the art, like, it almost feels it's a different kind of art than I think that we're used to, but it sort of fits in that Mignola oeuvre, if I may use a word that I can't pronounce exactly correctly. It's a little stiff, but it just kind of works, and it's very simple. It's just, if you look, everybody who's been reading this book has been like, this is so much fun and so good. And it's one of those books that as you read through it, every couple of pages, you'll see some, well, if you're me, you'll see something that would make the best of the panels, best panels of the week. You know what I mean? Like, it's just over and over little moments, you know, like that. Just a really enjoyable book. And it was a light week. So that's not to say that it wouldn't have been good otherwise, but
don't qualify.
There was actually several books that I would have gone with Pick of the Week. I read a lot of really good books in sort of a small amount this week. I could have written a Pick of the Week review on a ton of them, but this was the one at the end, and I was like, this isn't like any of the other ones, and it's the one that I enjoyed it all the way through, and it was such a sort of satisfying finish, and then they set you up for the next thing that's going to happen. But it's funny because they flash back and they show Baltimore like right after he got back from the war, and he's still got some hair, and he's not all ragged, and then they sort of flash forward to the present again. He's got no hair left on him. He's covered in scars, and he's just more grizzled. And every time somebody that he loves dies, he hammers a spike into his wooden leg.
Well then,
yeah, he's really grizzled, Connor.
like Adam Schiff. I'm looking forward to this.
Snake Eyes.
I wouldn't call as grizzled as, because the one on the cartoon dances.
No, not that version. No, the
okay.
I'm talking. Go back to like Larry Hama, Snake Eyes, like
a lot.
I've been watching the show again on the Hub. He dances a lot more than you're comfortable with.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I'm not.
In fact, last night a teenage girl took him out. But anyway, I'm looking forward to this one a lot. Ever since the first issue came out, I thought about reading it in issues, but really, I really enjoy the Mignola stories and trade, which is how I read them. So I'm looking forward to it.
And that's completely fair. The good news about like a book like this is you know it's coming out, you know, in trade. Like, it's going to be supported that way. When they recently announced all the Dark Horse digital stuff, because they're doing their own app, like, this is going to be available on there when it launches next month. So there'll be ways to read it, and it's totally worth reading. Every issue has been fun, and it's not even just nothing spectacular about it. Just sort of good comics that really understand mood and sort of this ominous tone and this creepiness, and then, you know, the big monster fight. And sometimes that's enough when done correctly.
Sometimes it's all a man needs.
It is all a man needs. At all. All
right then.
And it's sort of like, it's just like the writing tone. The writing and the words, really, the art and the
words and the art.
Yeah.
And the colors.
The art and the words all really work really nicely together to sort of set up that same tone. Like, there's no irony about it, but it's just a little like melodramatic throughout the whole thing. More so than Hellboy, because Hellboy's a little ironic, you know.
Right.
But it's fun. There's my spiel. No one wants to hear me keep talking.
Moving on.
What's the next book on the thing? I was looking at the book.
You wrote the script!
Man,
I say no disrespect to Mignola, and I respect your pick. I'm not making fun of it or anything like that, but you know how I was all amped up 10 minutes ago?
Uh-huh.
Buzzkill. I'm falling asleep now.
I can see that. Well, the thing is, when you take that particular strain of meth, you come down fast.
Yeah, it was a tough crash. That was, man. Let me touch your face.
That's uncomfortable.
No, I'm not.
Heroes for Hire number one.
How was this? I didn't get it. I love
Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning. Art by Brad Walker, who also did a bunch of the Guardians. And I think actually his art looks better in this than it did in some of the Guardians stuff that he did.
How was the story?
It was about a 3.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I got to say, I was looking forward to it a lot, and what I'd said beforehand was that I don't really care about any of these characters so much. In fact,
there's a lot of them to not care about.
I was holding the book in the store. I'm like, I don't care.
But the thing is, I didn't care about Guardians of the Galaxy either.
Oh, anybody? But I love them.
That worked for me. So I thought, let's do this again. The difference is I know these characters, but I didn't know the ones in Guardians. But what's funny is that on the cover, very prominently, is Ghost Rider and Punisher, not in the book.
That's Marvel.
In fact, I don't think Iron Fist was in the book.
Wow. So what, is just Misty Knight and Luke Cage? Or?
It's Falcon. They spend a lot of time with Falcon. They spend time with Black Widow. Moon Knight is in it.
So far, these are all Avengers.
And Elektra. Misty Knight, obviously.
Misty
you know
Knight.
What, though? It was very much a first issue. It was a lot of setting up, and then the ending was actually really strong. It was a good, the villain reveal about what's going on. So there's definitely stuff.
Who's
there.
Who's the villain?
Do you want me to tell you?
Yes.
We're not going to read it.
Would you hear me do the spoiler warning? My God.
I care about you guys. I don't care about the listeners. Yeah. It's Puppet Master.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
honestly, now I'm more inclined to pick it up.
You know what? Go read it because there's a really interesting. I don't want to ruin it for you. There's a really interesting twist in this that you don't see coming near the end. But besides that, it's a lot
is
of.
Is he a man?
It's a lot of explaining.
Is Puppet Master dead the whole time?
Is Puppet Master actually a woman? Oh, it's the crying game all over.
There's like this. The conceit is that there's this new way that they're going to do Heroes for Hire, and it's like they're hammering it home.
Let me guess, the internet.
Every time they it's Oracle, but basically
does the Puppet Master talk and then dance?
Because I'll go right now and go pick it up.
It's gonna be a weird show, by the way.
Yeah. I wanted it to be better than it was.
I think that's the consensus I've seen online is that it wasn't. Nobody's doors were blown off.
Well, if you think about what it was that Adnan Lanning did really well in the other books. It was big ass crazy shit.
Yeah.
And what this is not that.
Yeah.
It's street level stuff. Like they're literally taking down drug dealers. And it's kind of interesting. Like there's this drug called Hook, which is a drug for Atlanteans. And I was like, okay, that's an interesting idea. I hadn't seen that before. But at the end of the day, it's just, you know, not, it's just, you know, it was okay. It was okay. I'm going to read the next one because I think it could get interesting, but I was a little disappointed.
Fair enough.
I don't like saying that. Why don't we do What If Iron Man now so that I don't have to keep talking?
Okay, then. So it's December.
We're riffing this episode.
Apparently we are. We're going off
the structure here.
Never
I was
that.
Kind of looking forward to 20 minutes of Josh, to be honest with you.
I was just like, I don't want to listen to me. So why don't somebody else talk?
So December, historically, recently, over the past couple of years, has been a What If month at Marvel with the extra week or the skip week or whatever it is, this is the time where they roll out their what ifs. And I'm a huge, huge, huge What If fan. I've gone on record of that. I've also gone on record saying in recent years I've been not a big What If fan because they felt the need to do What If stories of stories that ended like 2 months ago. You know, like what if Siege?
What if Red Hulk wasn't Thunderbolt.
Right? Yeah, exactly. It's like I just
still Master working wasn't on. The villain in Heroes for Hire number one.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. But
except
I was
that came out the week before.
I was excited when I saw this one come out. Was that it was what Iron Man, Demon in an Armor, and the conceit is what if Tony Stark became Doctor Doom, which is a classic. Take a Marvel, you know, take a couple of characters, mix it up, whatever. The premise, and it was written by Bob Layton and David Michelinie, who are the guys behind the Demon in a Bottle storyline. And it took the premise of instead of Reed Richards, Tony Stark rooms with Doctor Doom. It was all right. It was maybe a 2 or a 3. I mean, like Graham Nolan was on the art.
All right.
Yeah, no, it wasn't bad, but it was you know, like whatever. It wasn't classic. But my approach with the what ifs is that I buy them based off of the premise. And so like if it's, you know, what if Siege, you know what if whatever Puppet Master wasn't the villain Heroes of Hire, I wouldn't get, but this one I would get. But the problem is that Marvel screwed me now because they added a backup. And the backup has a chapter in each of the What If issues, and I'm all about this backup because it's written by Rick Remender, and it's What If Venom Possessed Deadpool. and it's a four-part backup that's going to appear in all four of the what ifs. And the thing about it is that we all know Remender from Fear Agent and from Punisher and recently X-Force. Years ago, Remender did a book called Blackheart Billy, which was about a punk rock robot and crazy and stuff like that. Rick has a really weird, humorous side to him.
What?
Well, we know that, but at least in the comics. And within by the second panel, I was laughing out loud because what he did was basically what if typically starts with the Watcher, explaining what's going on. This was a what if from Earth 615.9, so not Earth 616, and it's not the Watcher, rather it's Boy Watcher, and he dressed Uatu up like Boy George.
So that's right in your wheelhouse.
And not only did he do that, but he actually worked in Culture Club lyrics. He's
writing a book for you.
He's explaining what the Earth is, and he actually said, "This is the Earth that you were intended to watch." Uatu the pill popper set his view dial a bit off. I think he did it to hurt me, to make me cry. And I just lost it. And he proceeds to tell a story of Daredevil over the ages. It starts in 1985, where Daredevil gets hired by Galactus to take out the Beyonder. And it's 1985, and it opens up, and Daredevil's got a mustache, and he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
So he's Magnum.
Yeah, pretty much. And it was what, 1, 2, 3, 4 pages of story? No, 5 pages of story? 6 pages of story. 6 pages of story, and I there was a laugh on every page. At one point when Spider-Man comes in, he's in the black costume, and he attacks the Beyonder because he's mad at him because he has the symbiote. And the Beyonder...
Symbiote. That is better than Rusty Auto Parts.
No, it's not. Nothing's better than Rusty Auto Parts. But so Spider-Man gets blasted, and the symbiote separates from him, and he's falling from the sky. He's falling from a building, and Peter Parker just goes, "Save me, Lord Mephisto." That's a nice little inside dig. It was funny. I don't know. It cracked me up, and it was just wacky Remender in the Marvel Universe, which is always a good time. So it looks like I'm going to be buying all the What Ifs now just to get this dumb backup story. So, and it's a Deadpool story, which is crazy.
Maybe it's the character he was born to write.
Up is down. Down is up. Black is white.
Dogs and cats living together. Another thing that was actually a contender this week was Vertigo Resurrected Winter's Edge number 1. That's a lot of words. It's $7.99. It's pretty much all reprinted short stories from old.
So they're just doing this. They might as well call this Now That He's Gone.
No, these have actually been printed and stuff.
Oh, they have? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like they're reprints.
So is this just a monthly thing they're doing now, or?
I don't know. It's really
been two or three of them?
Yeah, hasn't there? Yes.
Why don't you listen to the names? Neil Gaiman, Paul Jenkins, Good Jenkins.
Oh,
Paul
wow.
Pope, Duncan Figueredo, Garth Ennis, Steve Dillon, Pete Milligan, Sean Phillips, Peter Gross, Michael Lark, Dave Gibbons, Brian Vaughn, Michael Zulli. Like,
I feel like we did this last time too. We just read names.
No, but like it was literally, it's enough.
Yeah.
And even there was actually a few sort of not Sandman, but endless sort of Neil Gaiman written stories in here, short stories, and they were pretty good. For me, actually, there's a couple of Hellblazer stories. One of them's Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon back from then, and I think that's probably only good if you've read that stuff, because it's just him in a bar sort of crying into his drink about what a dick he is to his friends. But there's this one short story in here written by Paul Jenkins, apparently when he was good, or when he wrote stuff I wanted to read. How's that? With art by Paul Pope, and it's just a wonderful little short story of John Constantine inserting himself into somebody's lives and sort of a little supernatural thing. Really, really good stuff. It's interesting. There's Michael Lark art in one of these stories, and I didn't realize it was him until the end because it's a lot earlier. Like, you can see that it's him after I knew it, but it's just much more line based and much more just an early version, which was really interesting. And then there's like earlier Sean Phillips where it's really sort of rough and sketchy, and he hadn't sort of smoothed it out yet. So that stuff was really fascinating. And then this early Brian K. Vaughan story is a great, really good story, actually, from when he wrote the female Swamp Thing, the son, daughter of Swamp Thing or whatever. Good little collection. I mean, you get trade bucks worth for sure. This took a really long time to read. There was all sorts of stuff in it. But if you liked that last Resurrected book that came out, this is just sort of more of the same, always sort of a winter holiday sort of theme on these ones. Really great.
Cool.
We all had 8 books each, which was weird.
9. I read more than either of you this week.
You got an extra.
Wow. That's weird. That's like the first time ever.
Yeah.
So for me, I had a really rough week. Like, I didn't really love anything. But
you're all right? You're right? You need a hug?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, yeah. It's, I felt like nothing was really that great in the books I read. But Irredeemable 20 was one of the better books.
Dude.
Continuing that renaissance the book's going through, in which now we've had the Plutonian who's been grabbed by the alien race and taken off of Earth and is now in some sort of world in his head where he's still the hero while he's being worked on by the aliens. Meanwhile, on Earth, everyone's sort of rejoicing about the fact that Plutonian is gone, but the good guys are giving a speech to the world, and it gets increasingly creepy. Mm-hmm. As they say, they're going to be watching all the time now.
It was like the one guy, like, "What are you? Whoa, hold on! What are you?
Stop talking!"
So let me ask you this: I got to the end of this, and I was left with one question, which is the fine question: Is this the end of Plutonian's story for now? I think
could be, yeah,
possibly. I mean, well, no, or it's a new story. Now, do we get the Plutonian in Oz?
You know alien. What? Because
yeah, he, Alien Oz.
You know what though? Because he was sort of catatonic and not
yeah.
In it, like, I just feel like they're going to put the Plutonian away for a little while because Mark Waid always said, like, the name of the book's not the Plutonian.
True, that's a very good point.
You see this other storyline starting up
yeah.
where, you know, Irredeemable is the name of this book.
That's a very good point. That's a really good point, actually.
I think they're putting the Plutonian on the shelf for a little while, and he's going to build the world up this other way, you know.
And then is the world redeemable? What's his face? The guy who's – I don't know any character's name. The guy that was addressing the world, is he – yeah, I mean that's a very good point. I'm impressed by your extrapolation theory.
Yeah, no, I think that – because it was such an end cap to the Plutonian yes. story. And it yep. was just like putting him in the arc and, you know, blacking up in the warehouse. And I was like, all right, well, I guess we'll see him. You know, he'll come back, obviously.
Yep.
But he's taking a little vacation.
Yeah,
and so I thought it was great.
It was a great issue. I thought it was great. Yeah, I mean, summed it up. I thought, I loved it. I thought this was great too. And I thought the art was really strong. Mm-hmm. Was really
yeah.
strong. So
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
So our great national nightmare of Daredevil and Shadowland has come to an end this week.
It's over finally.
Finally, after what feels like forever since the last issue. I mean,
only 5
dear,
issues.
I know. This is the longest 5 issue ever. So Shadowland number 5 and Daredevil 512 came out, and good on Marvel that they posted a big warning on the first page of Daredevil saying, read Shadowland number 5 before reading this. So good for them. But so basically Shadowland number 5, what I mean, it's as you would predict. It's you know, Daredevil becomes the Beast. The Beast has taken over Daredevil. The heroes fight him. Iron Fist punches him with his chi. And then Elektra comes and there's a whole big fight in his head. And he stabs himself with a sword in his head and drives out the Beast, and basically it's over and everything's fine. And then he doesn't die, but he disappears. Nobody knows where he is and yada, yada. So Shadowland is over.
Was there at any point an homage to the Elektra cover?
No, there was not, actually, which we were glad. And Bullseye stayed dead. Yeah, so, I mean, like, it's basically everything is back to as it was, except that now there's no Daredevil in Hell's Kitchen. But all of this,
Black Panther,
and so then in Daredevil 512 is again, the art was beautiful in 512. This Marco Cicchetto guy, keep an eye on him. He was really, really good. But the whole premise of Daredevil 512 was basically the epilogue. And where is Matt Murdock? The police are looking for him now, and the city's, you know, rebuilding, and Foggy's trying to figure out what to do, and Iron Fist and Luke Cage are looking for Murdock, and they run into the Black Panther, and he's like, "It's my neighborhood now," and the Kingpin takes over the Hand, and that basically just wrap, and then it ends with Matt Murdock with a beard getting off a bus in the middle of nowhere, walking the earth like Kane, Kane from Kung Fu.
Or like Bruce Banner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's got a backpack.
Superhero cliche number 8.
Yeah, exactly. But it was all of this was worth it. The whole fucking event and crossover was worth it for on the second page. The first page is a big splash page of the big Shadowland tower, the Chinese tower, and there are two cops arguing about whether they're going to let the building stand. And one cop's going, "They're going to let us stand? That's crazy." And there are, oh no, no, actually Ben Urich's talking to a cop, and he's saying they're keeping the building. And the cop goes, "Not that it's a police matter, but to the best of my knowledge, the building permits are all legit." So this issue proved that Matt Murdock got all the building permits he needed to build this.
Get across the I's and dot the T's.
Exactly.
He stopped in the middle of being the Beast. He had to go to the courthouse.
He says it's a matter for City Hall now. I kind of feel like that was a nod to us. to be honest with you.
I believe the Hand are Japanese.
Yeah, they are. Okay, well, maybe the thing is not China. Maybe the Shaolin building is more Japanese design. I don't know. I'm not an Eastern architecture expert.
That's true. Yeah, I'm not, so. Nor am I.
The Asian-esque design, how's that?
Yeah. I think it's just Japanese.
I could have gone a different direction, but I didn't.
That's fine. I think it's best. Like that's absolutely.
So Daredevil ends at issue 512, and now we'll see where it goes from there.
Who's writing Black Panther as Daredevil now?
I think Diggle's just saying.
Is Diggle still doing it?
Okay, that's,
yeah, I believe he is.
Yeah. You've got the issue.
It doesn't say. Well,
Diggle, the writer is.
Diggle wrote this issue, but I don't know if he's continuing it. Oh, Diggle and Johnston wrote it.
Okay.
So, Anthony Johnston. but it ends. Like I couldn't help but reading the last page and hearing the sad Hulk music.
All right. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yep.
It's the sad Peanuts music. I don't know why.
Down a long, lonely road paved with good intentions. That was the last sentence of the book.
Well, if...
I want to read that story.
If you like comics, go to InStockTrades.com. They got up to 37% off all the cover price of all your trade needs. They got 9,000 trade paperbacks in stock. And that's why is that important? Because you get free shipping over $50. Free shipping. 9,000 trades. Think about it. Every Wednesday, orders are shipped within 48 hours. In 48 hours, you can be 9,000 trade paperbacks richer.
Total free shipping.
Free shipping.
And the thing is, when you order 9,000 trade paperbacks, we're not talking like the USPS, you know, priority mail, the $5 envelope. We're talking like a pallet, a truck. We're talking like...
They'll drive them over, I think.
Zach is going to drive them. He's going to get a U-Haul to drive them.
It sounds like a big commitment. But what it is it's a giant cost savings. Yes. You were probably going to buy those 9,000 books eventually and pay out the nose.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just do it now is what
37% off plus free shipping. You can't afford not to be at 9,000 trade paperbacks.
We're not trying to get them a lot of customers. We're trying to get them a whale.
We're just trying to get one. Yeah, the white whale. Oh, it's genius. So where should they go, Connor?
www.instocktrades.com.
All right, so Buffy the Vampire Slayer, number 39. We're one issue away from all this ending. I didn't notice last issue, but this issue, Scott Alley gets a co-writing credit with Joss Whedon, which makes me think.
I think the last issue as well, but I can't be for sure.
I think 40 is the last issue, right? Yeah.
No, I think he did it in the last
issue. Oh, he got the last issue? Okay. But shit's happening, including Giles getting his neck snapped.
I haven't had a book like this in a while where I have been buying it against my better judgment just to finish the story.
Yeah.
Like I could have dropped this book 4 months ago.
Yeah.
I should have dropped the book 4 months ago.
I can't help but think that especially after watching season 7, it feels a lot like the last episode of season 7. We're just like killing people off, shit happening, and it's just like again, really?
It's such a long time for what is supposedly a season of a TV show.
I would like someone
4.5 years.
I would like someone who's been keeping up with the whole Buffyverse to tell me where I can read more about Spike and the Bugs.
All right.
Because I don't know where that happened. But
we can't help you.
I know, but someone can. So email us and let us know. I'm reading. I mean, I just want to see it through to the end. But yeah, I mean, it's not by no means. It doesn't have the glory it had when it first started. So
12 issues. That should have been the season.
No, I think I would have been good with like 22. Like
it's still 2 years though.
Right, but that's fine. But yeah,
a long time for what's supposed to be a season is all.
Anyway, moving on.
Sometimes I like to dip my toes into the darkness. Darkness number 87 from Top Cow was a. It's like a. I don't know if it was like a one-shot, but it didn't sort of require anything else about it. It looked kind of interesting as a story on its own. And it was sort of the backstory of a guy who we'd seen and had been along with the Darkness for a while and then had sort of betrayed him. And it was just an interesting sort of origin story of this one guy and how you get brought up in this sort of religious cult. And it was fun. I really like the art. I don't have – who's the artist? I got to find it because I actually really enjoyed the art and I want that to be a thing. Sheldon Mitchell.
I want that to be a thing.
Well, I want to make sure I give him credit.
Yeah, no, I know.
The whole time through I was like, I like this. I was very – I don't know. It reminded me of – I can't put my finger on it. It's just kind of sketchy. It's good. I liked it very much. I don't have words for what it is. But it was a little bit of like the best of the 90s kind of art style, but didn't look like it was from the 90s, if that makes sense. I guess sort of. It's sort of – there's a Silvestri relationship to this, but in a good way. So there's that. Anyway, cool. Very good. Fun book. Next up.
Amazon.com. I don't know why.
It's the holidays.
You can't get it out of your head.
American Vampire number 9. This was another one of those issues this week. I was like, yeah, that was all right.
Really?
Like, yeah, I was just sort of, you know, like everything was kind of just all right this week. And American Vampire was kind of a letdown from the week, from the month before, I thought.
Really?
Yeah.
I really love the way it started. I love the opening, the sort of background of these orphans who come off a train and get picked. It's just so weird and creepy. And then I really liked the way it ended because it was so odd. Like when they come back in and Skinner is holding I really liked the way that it was done from a subtle standpoint. He had like the syringe and they didn't show it going in. There's just one little word balloon that says, ow. Like, so you're like, wait, did that happen? And then after that, it was very quickly wrapping things up. If there was a weakness, I felt they had to wrap up a little too quickly at the end. But I enjoyed it, actually, quite a lot.
Yeah. The same could be said for Jonah Hex 62, which I also thought actually.
Wow, this is like cloudy over Kilpatrick land.
Yeah. I still have a good time reading comics this week. I thought this was one of the least strong issues in a while. And as long as I can remember.
Again, it was Eduardo Risso, and like right away I was like, hey, is this... Ooh, it is. I was very excited about I like it a lot. It was like Hex with Circus Folk.
The story was clunky. It kind of jumped all over the place. I thought Riso's work wasn't as strong as it's been in the past. I had high hopes for this issue after hearing Riso was drawing it. I just wasn't into it.
C.S. Kilpatrick, why so cloudy?
Maybe it's you.
Yeah.
Maybe it's me. Although She-Hulk's number 5 was great. Give it 5 stars.
Was that the Go Ape issue?
Yeah, this is one of the enlightening books, like one of those surprise books. I'm glad Paul talked about it, and I'm glad I picked it up. This is sort of Marvel's Power Girl. It's fun. It's funny. The art, sort of Ryan Stegman art's kind of like Amanda Conner, and it's too bad it's a miniseries. I mean, obviously it's not popular enough to warrant anything more than that, but this is good. When this trade comes out, people should check it out.
Hopefully it does.
Yeah, hopefully. All right, so those are the books that depressed us this week because it was such a light week. I was so happy that my total came to like under $40.
That was under $20.
Oh, yeah. Oh, great. Anyway, I bought Wizard as well.
What?
He never stopped.
It had Tron on the cover. Anyway. Yeah.
Have you not stopped buying Wizard?
No, I buy it every month. It's hysterical. Crazy? It's great.
It only takes 4 minutes to read.
Exactly. Now. It's perfect for the pooper. All right. So you bought – all of you out there bought some of the other comic books that came out this week. And so we want to highlight some of the user reviews from the iFanboy community. Our first review is from Dr. Catclops. It's an interesting name. And he reviewed Action Comics Annual number 13, of which he gave the story a 5 out of 5 and the art a 5 out of 5. And at the time of this recording, not enough of you made it your pick of the week to even talk about it.
Little bit.
Dr. Catclops says, wow, what a great comic book. I love the characters and the storytelling and how the characters are in the story telling you about the characters and the story and telling you about the characters and how the story you tell is the characters you tell stories to. Great characters. Luthor was telling a story and telling it really well, and he's a great character who loves storytelling.
And the art
loves storytelling too.
I think he's making fun of us.
I love both the characters and the story it was telling, but I love characters more than storytelling, but storytelling is really important to characters, and storytelling and page layout have a baby, and out comes the characters, and the little panels of storytelling and crescendos of big character moments. Storytelling. Telling story. That was a great review. That was awesome.
I don't think that's his real review. I can't believe you read the whole thing. I tried to give you an out halfway through.
No, it was great. I loved it. I grabbed it by the reins and I wrote it. I wrote it home. I wrote it hard and deep.
Listen, just because you don't understand the fundamentals and you have to think – anyway. On the other side, Connor, did you like this one?
No, this is the thing. I was kind of disappointed.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no.
Died.
Nobody. It's just kind of like everything was just kind of disappointing this week. I don't know why.
It's like, oh man.
All right. Well,
do you need? It's the holidays, Connor.
I thought it was a couple. I really like the art in this one. I like his sort of crazy layouts and everything. And there's this one page where you flip the page and it's Luthor and Darkseid looking over Apocalypse. And I was like, wow, they got Kirby on. They got Kirby dots all over the place in that one. It was kind of fun. And then the second story about Lex and Ra's al Ghul. I just like that. Not only is Cornell telling different types of stories about all these villains and things like that, but like they're done in different styles. The sort of the Ra's al Ghul story was told in a completely different style than the other one. It was Benes, Ed Benes, Joe Ben, something. Which one is it?
I don't think this fit into how I see Lex Luthor in the DC universe. This particular issue, he was in this issue. He goes and he works for Darkseid when he's a young kid, and then he's off working for Ra's al Ghul when he was. It just didn't fit into his history as I know it to be. So in my continuity, this doesn't work. So I didn't really enjoy it.
I don't know that continuity, so I guess it didn't make an impact on me in that way. I mean, it seems like they're kind of rejiggering it and setting it up in a Johnsian style, we'll call it.
Yeah, I don't know. The idea of Lex going to Apocalypse for a month to work as a weapons designer for Darkseid is a little bit too much, I think.
It's Darkseid.
Right.
Nope. No. No.
Next review.
Zeppo wrote about Sweet Tooth number 16, giving the story a 5 out of 5 and the art a 5 out of 5. And at the time we did this, pick of the week was 35%. Who knows what it will be when you hear this. I only know Lemire's work from this series and one issue of Superboy. I knew he was skilled at pulling at the heartstrings. I did not know that he could deliver all-out action as well. First, his art has never been better. Even with everything going on around them, his characters were able to express their feelings with a look, and even though this was mostly action, there was a lot of great character moments as well. Jeppard's motivations are clear and understandable, while the growth in Gus over the last few issues has been a lot of fun to watch. With this issue, Lemire takes all of the boxes, action, character moments, and plot advancements too good to be spoiled here. This issue has it all.
Pick of the week.
Yeah, no, he's not wrong.
This issue was so strong. It was like from the layouts, from the art, like he said, from the I mean, it was great.
I got to that. There's one page where I think it's just Jeppard's on a horse from the side.
Yep.
And I just thought, wow, he's come a long way.
Well, what about the truck driving into the fence and the explosion in the outline of Gus? Like that. It was great. Oh, great. Great stuff.
No, very good issue, all action, and you know, he's absolutely right. It was really in this one. I just was like, "Wow, Amir's really grown as a storyteller."
Yep,
telling stories, and like you said, it was a great issue, very strong, the strongest it's been in a while.
So strong. I mean, yeah, this is really good. This is my pick.
Why wasn't it the pick of the week then, Josh?
Because
if that is your real name.
I'm not going to say anything out without counsel present.
No, that two-page spread with the fight between Jeppard and the dude with the glasses and the mustache at the end, like the reds and the not reds.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, it was great. Yeah. It was so good.
Communists?
Yes. So good. Sweet Tooth.
Reds.
Fantastic. All right, so go to ifanboy.com/comics. This is where you can see all the comics come out every week. You can do your pull list and come back and rate and review them. It's all at ifanboy.com. Connor.
This should be me, actually.
I know. I was going to go with the script, so.
Yeah, that's fine. Hey, do you like iFanboy? Do you want to help us out? Send me a dollar. No.
It's like soupy sales.
Hey, kids.
Send me a dollar. If you listen to the show and
I've got a dollar,
and do all that, watch the video, all that stuff that you get for not a thing, there's lots of things you can do to help out. And one of them is to go to the website, click the banners. Those are the people who support the show directly, so that's one way to do it. You can go to Amazon.com. You can go to ifanboy.com/Amazon, especially now if people are doing a lot of holiday shopping. That's one way to very directly help us out, and you don't have to do anything for it. So if you're going to buy a plasma TV this year, what the heck? Why not go through Amazon or ifanboy.com/Amazon? When you do that, click on the little Powered by Amazon button, and that'll bring you there. You can buy shirts. You got Fear Agent shirt. Love my Fear Agent shirt. That's still available, drawn by Jerome Pena, a lovely black t-shirt. There's still some of those left. I believe there's some intern shirts left, not many.
Move on.
Okay. You could be a member. That's really the most direct and helpful, to be honest. You're the ones we love the most. The iFanboy members are contributing directly to the way that we produce this show with your contributions of $4 a month or $42 a year or $10 a month or $100 a year. And with that, what you get is you'll get a prize pack with a comic book. And I think the comic books are getting better, and not in the way that I mean it directly, but better. They're some really awful. Yeah. Like if you get a countdown issue, you won. That's what I say. Because we can't get rid of those things fast enough. Or if you're at the higher level, you get a t-shirt along with that. And then you'll also be eligible for all the prizes that we gave. I think there's going to be more stuff coming up soon.
Yeah.
But we gave away
a ton of stuff in the fall.
But I know that there are stacks of things that we have to give away, things you will appreciate and love. And members are the only ones who are going to be able to win stuff like that. So as you're doing your holiday shopping and all that stuff, think, hey, man, you know what adds a lot to my life? iFanboy stuff. Maybe it's time I finally pitch in, do my part.
And our numbers are growing. We've seen a, we've seen an increase over the past couple of weeks in members, so we want to thank all the new members and keep it coming. Yeah. So,
but don't think, well, they're doing, I don't have to.
That's right, not, no, not, that's not a case at all, no.
Yeah. It's a team thing. We're socialists. Wait, yes. No, I didn't say that.
So, yeah, so go to ifanboy.com/store where you can do that and become a member.
Let's do a couple of emails now.
Let's do it. Great name.
The first one's from Pony Johnson.
Pony boy!
Pony Johnson says, what was the first series that you liked that got canceled that made you incredibly sad or depressed or other saddening emotions?
Dark Hawk.
Dead Enders. Really?
Yeah. I knew Dead Enders is always your answer.
Yeah.
It's the first series that I was reading that got canceled after I came back to reading books. That's the... There's that. Other than that, Wildcats 3.0.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
I can't even get Joe to tell me how it ends.
I feel he doesn't know. I feel like we answer this question a lot, but I always bring up Young Heroes in Love. I love that series and from DC. It was just so unlike DC.
That was a good series.
It was
yeah.
great. It was so good. It didn't sell anything.
That was more like a book that would come out now.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But or, not from DC or Marvel.
No, like from Image or sort of Boom or something. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because we don't like that used to happen sometimes, but now it happens like it feels like it's happened a lot lately.
Well, yeah. Well, have you? Yeah. Where have you been?
Yeah. No. I mean, it's just. Yeah. I don't know if I'm investing in stuff.
I'm trying to go back. Yeah, I'm trying to go back into like the '90s when something got canceled.
And those, I didn't really think about it, or things didn't get canceled.
Yeah. No, that's the thing.
Yeah, that is the thing.
Well, because back then I would read Captain America, Fantastic Four. You know, they're all still around. They didn't get canceled.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't think of the first one.
They probably should have canceled Spawn. in like 98, like right after the movie.
When would you have still been upset that they canceled Spawn?
Well, I stopped at issue 100. Okay. So I probably – and I right around issue – 47. I was like, you know, I'm pretty much done with this. But I
went for another 5 years.
You stuck it out for another 5 years. Yeah,
pretty much.
That's Richard's way.
Yeah. You're not setting yourself up for any abuse in life that way.
I'm trying to think of one from the 90s. I'm trying to think of it.
This meal is terrible. I'm going to order it 4 more times just to make sure.
No, you know I don't fuck around with food. Come on.
You should take that food and add and use that ethos in your comics.
Nah, that's all right. I'm not eating the comics. I'm not going in my bed. Our next email comes from Justin from Kentucky, who says, what are your favorite runs in comic books? And while I know this has been asked before, I have a twist to try to make it fresh. Ron can't pick any X-Men title, specifically the Dark Phoenix saga. Connor can't pick anything with Batman in it. And Josh can't pick a Vertigo title, such as Hellblazer. If you could mention what stands out about your choice that made you enjoy it so much. Thank you, Justin from Kentucky. All right, I accept your challenge.
3 times now I came up with something and they were all Vertigo. I had to keep... No. No.
All right. Shit. Favorite runs. Oh, Jeff Johns Flash.
There you go.
Boom. Boom! There goes the Flash.
Mark Waid's Flash too.
I didn't read that as I didn't read that in issues. Like I didn't read that as a run. You know, like I've read it kind of sporadically. But that was and Kurt Busiek, Brent Anderson, Astro City. Ooh. that main the continuing series run. You know,
Busiek Perez Avengers. Yeah.
That was all right. I didn't think that was so. You know.
It was great.
No, it was great. But I don't see that as like a heralded like amazing run. You know, Grant Morrison, Howard Porter, JLA.
Yeah,
that was a great run.
Yeah.
Peter David's Aquaman.
Connor, pick one from Marvel.
Mark Gruenwald's Captain America. I picked Avengers already.
Well, I said another one.
Mark Gruenwald's Avengers. Okay. Jesus.
All right.
Starman?
Yeah, you can do that.
Starman, which I was like, wait, that's not Vertigo. Shoo. Ultimate Spider-Man, to be honest. You know, right up to now, it's been going on for such a long time. And then
Solo.
Gotham Central.
All right. There you go. We
have John Byrne's runs in the 80s.
No, Spider-Man Captain Spider-Man Chapter 1.
No.
Oh god, that's awful. Yeah, you know what? To go back, if we're going to go way back, Michelini and McFarlane on Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, that was a good run.
I loved that stuff.
Eric Larson was talking on Twitter the other day, and he said, "If I don't know why, but he was wondering out loud whether there was anything John Byrne could do to become relevant again." Like I read all of his tweets, I was like, "You know, I don't think there is."
That's a little he's a little close to that subject.
Well, no, he's not. No, but I'm saying, like, could you imagine, like, would Marvel hire John Byrne to do Daredevil, and it would be like, oh my god, like, what is John Byrne's second act?
He had a second act. Which Marvel act and DC act?
Yeah, so
true.
Yeah,
but, this is his third. This would be his third act.
Yeah,
and he did like the Next Men and stuff. That was his third act.
It's coming out again. It's coming out for IDW.
Yeah,
a new series, new X-Men series.
Yeah, and it doesn't look good. I'll be honest.
Is he doing it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
No, not so much.
Anyway, all right. So email us at contact@ifanboy.com if you want to be like Justin and twist us and try to trick us with your trickery. It's not going to work, Justin. I'm on to you from Kentucky. Onto the voicemail.
People from Kentucky can't be trusted. Have you met Robert Kirkman?
It's odd. I guess he's got oddly paranoid.
This show's all like, whoa, what are you doing? What are you doing? Watch, wear hands where I can see him, buddy.
All right, onto our voicemail. Our first voicemail has got a question about old comics.
Greetings, fanboys. It's Gabe in Los Angeles. Hey, I'm sending out my comic collection, and I have a question. What do I do with these issues I don't want? No one wants them. What do? I can't give them away? Should I leave them in a laundromat? What to do with the comics that nobody wants? Please help. Bye-bye.
It's a good question, Gabe. In this season of giving, when you have all this stuff you can't seem to give away.
Yep. Bonfire.
Yes. Use your comics to wrap your presents.
Ooh.
Or do a craft project, wallpaper your bathroom with comics.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or Molly showed you an article this week. I can make shoes out of comics.
Yeah, there you go. That. Look at that. Look at that. Get crafty.
Or bonfire.
If you want to give them away to people, just earlier this week I did a post on the site about the Comic Book Connection Initiative. A guy in Ohio, this guy Fate Spears, is set up a place where you can donate your comics. And this is the interesting part. This is the part that made me say, oh. Is that the comics that are for all ages, the comics that are appropriate for kids, are going to go to kids, they're going to go to underprivileged kids. And then the ones that are not, the ones that are more mature and adult, those are going to be going to soldiers overseas, and they're going to be sending them away there. So if you want to send your comics to them, we did a post about it on iFanboy. We'll link it in the show notes so that you can get to it. That's one really good thing. If you want to do a little bit of research around your area, you might be able to find a place that will take them. You know, it's hard because I think about all my comics and there's so much stuff you can't give to kids.
Nobody wants them. Just dump them. Dump them at the laundromat.
Dump them at the laundromat. Give them to a library. Give them to a hospital. Think of places where people are doctor's office. You know, like just you know, or yeah, you know, I know people here in San Francisco who leave them on the bus and on BART. Like leave them on the subway. Leave them on, you know, like just you know, and
that's called littering.
Well, no, but people find it. It's
you know what? And this is sacrilege to a lot of you. No one asks about this stuff to do with magazines and, you know, like when you're done with them, you throw in the recycle bin. It's okay to do that.
Yeah.
It's okay to get rid of them. It's fine.
That's Ron looks over and sees his boxes of Entertainment Weekly from 1992.
And Wizard.
He doesn't count. He buys stuff for 5 years after he doesn't like it. And then keeps it forever. Poly bag. Does that sound healthy?
We're looking at a future episode of Hoarders, my friends. If you need any advice, you can call us at 1-888-FANBOYS. It's 1-888-326-2697. So we hope you've enjoyed this podcast. We have other great podcasts that you need to listen to and watch and things like that, including iFanboy Don't Miss, which makes its triumphant return this Monday, where we're talking to writer Ben McCool about issue number one of Captain America, the Korvac Saga. And if you've never heard Ben McCool, you're going to want to listen to this because he's a great guy and he's a lot of fun to listen to because he's very energetic. So,
his name is McCool.
So, yeah, I know. How cool is that?
I spent a night there. One night.
With Ben?
At McCool's. It's a movie.
Oh, okay.
I know comics. Fiction's part of the show.
I think you get awkward. Go to iTunes.
That's where you disappeared to that one night in San Diego.
Go to iTunes and subscribe to iFanboy Don't Miss. And you can get it on iFanboy.com on Monday.
I just did the math. I was like, did I? Oh, wait. No, you're making that up.
No, you did disappear one night in San Diego, and that's where you were.
No, I wasn't with them. Anyway, go to iFanboy.com. It's our website. You can read the Pick of the Week review that I wrote and then all the other stuff that goes up every day. We try to keep up on the news, on the goings-on. We try to get you some unique looks at the world of comic books and some interviews and things like that in a way that no other websites do about comic books. And people tell us a lot that we do it pretty good. So make sure you get to iFanboy.com. Don't be one of those listeners who only has half of the iFanboy experience. There's so much more out there. Get over there. And you can also listen to other podcasts we do. You get the video show and the Word Balloon. The Word Balloon. John Sundress is cranking out the interviews with all the people that you want to talk to. The video show last week was
the holiday gift buying episode.
Exactly. And then this week is comics that make you cry.
Aww. It's comics Connor.
Yeah. Is it about this week?
It's about this week, isn't it?
Yeah. I was just like, I don't like it.
Thankfully, there's only 8 of them.
Yeah.
That's terrible. It's terrible. It's and you go to ifanboy.com/about to see all the social networking links and ways that you can connect with us.
Twitter.
And Twitter.
Twitter.com/ifanboy.
That one, too.
Yep.
You can email us at contact@ifanboy.com or call our voicemail line 1-888-FANBOYS 326-2697. Just like the fine folks in this show did.
Yep.
But get on the show. That's how you can get on the show. Contact us.
Do it good, though.
Do it well.
Josh likes it when you do it good.
Long and deep.
Whoa. Whoa. If you like us, write a review on iTunes. I can't believe you said long and deep. That's just going so... You're better than that, dude.
I know.
Write a review on iTunes or tell people. Tell word of mouth very much helps. If you want to write a review on iTunes about any of the shows, that's good. Or tell people about it on Twitter or message boards or whatever. Spread the word. Send out links. Be that guy, because you're the guys who do it for us. Thank you.
Yes, you do it for us indeed.
Ladies, guys and ladies, dolls, yes. Broads. I don't know what the
vernacular is.
I've been married for a while, so I don't know. Yeah. Maybe.
Who's done Christmas shopping? I am.
What's Christmas shopping?
Go to Amazon, ifanboy.com/Amazon. Get all your stuff there. Oh, wait, we did that part already.
Yeah.
Where's my people drink?
People are going to be like, so you know at the end of that last show? It was fun for a while, yeah, but sucked at the end.
Shit just fell apart, man. It's
not even like late or...
This is no excuse. You know what my excuse is? I'm tired. That's what my excuse is. I'm sick and tired of both of you. Oh, where did that come from?
Who said that?
I would just love it if just once that show. I bet. Oh, it would be legend.
I just thought we would have met him by now. That's all.
Gloves are off.
Yeah. So, all right. Until next week, we'll be better. I am Ron.
Connor.
I'm not making that promise. I'm a sort of stable level of crap.
It's hard to not make that promise.
He snorted.
That was a sincere snort.
I believe it.